Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Aisman. An organization-wide business and cost transformation initiative can result in multi-million dollar savings. Rajiv Ranjan proved that recently at a beverage company in India when he transitioned it to right-sized supply chain infrastructure while optimizing systems, processes, and the operating models. And I'm really pleased to have Rajiv Ranjan as my guest on Make It Right. Welcome to the podcast, Rajiv.
Thanks, Janet. Glad to be here.
So you've had a long career in supply chain. So tell me a little bit about your career background, and have you always worked in the beverage industry?
Not really. I have worked for about 24 years is the total number of years I have worked in various industries. I started with cement industry and then moved on to paper industry, and then for about 3-4 years, I was into primarily engineering and projects kind of role before I moved to a food and beverage company in India. I worked there in various roles, spanning for heading of the production operations, looking at supply chain and distribution, looking at Lean and Six Sigma operations, doing cost transformations, also doing to some extent route to market optimization for India and Southeast Asia.
Okay. So have you always approached your work with a Lean Six Sigma mindset?
I would say need-based. Lean Six Sigma, my experience with Lean and Six Sigma has been, this is something which is applicable in all spheres of life, apart from the work life. You know, this is something where I learned that there's always a better and faster way to do things. And look for things which are adding to cost and not adding to value. I mean, in a very simplified form, this statement I learned that can be applied to anywhere else too.
Okay, so it's kind of like that's your mindset for life, is it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
That's a big change to my line of thinking after I went to this role.
So some of the challenges that are out there that you have seen, are some of them really unique to the food and beverage manufacturing industry?
Sure. So let's start with the consumers of food and beverage industry. Today's consumer is pretty discerning. Today's consumer is asking for fresh products. Consumer is asking for natural ingredients. It's asking for nutrition into the food and beverage. It's asking for taste, asking for organic to the extent possible. That's why it's looking for variety, because the needs are different at different points in time. Looking for convenience, looking for customization, looking for speed, looking for environment friendliness of everything that goes into manufacturing of food and beverage. And by the way, all of this, consumer is not willing to be very patient in getting all this. So speed has become very, very important. And all this at a price, which is something which I can really afford. And if it is lower, the better. So for the food and beverage manufacturing companies, meeting this range of expectation of consumers is something where, to my mind, the biggest challenge lies. Organizations which are pretty focused on identifying few sections from this vast list of needs where they think they can create differentiation in the marketplace and win the hearts of consumers by delighting the consumers with an exceptional experience is, I think, where the true success of food and beverage manufacturing industry lies.
So when you look at the consumer now, I mean, it hasn't always been this way. The consumer hasn't always been that demanding. In your experience, when did you start to see that the consumer was being very demanding and that their loyalty to a brand could shift very rapidly if they weren't getting what they wanted from their product?
I would say after the start of information era, where the information is accessible easily to most of the consumers, that's when, you know, the consumer became more and more aware, and the knowledge base of consumer increased, and the expectation that this is also possible, or this is happening in this part of the world, or let's say this is causing damage to the environment, this is how it is causing damage to the environment, this extent of possibilities here, this is happening in other industries, so why not in food and beverage? So I would say this whole thing has started primarily from the time when the information explosion has happened and the era of information age started. So that's the time, I think, that's the time from when this whole thing has started and became very, very prominent into the mind of consumers. That's one. Second, I would also say that I would say 3, 4, 5 years back, when the global growth rates, you know, also, I'm now moving towards the price sensitivity part of it. The price conscious consumer, the bottom of pyramid, and let's say, you know, bottom 10% of the middle part of the pyramid in terms of consumer base, that when the global growth has tapered down compared to earlier rapid growth numbers, that's also a time when the focus on pricing has become very, very high, and consumer has become very, very discerning in terms of value that one derives from the price that one, you know, spends. So I would say two things. One is start of information era, in information age, is when this whole consumer has become very, 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 very demanding and important, right? And rightfully so.
When you look at your job, do you see the consumer as your ultimate boss?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The consumer is the one who pays for everything that is done by the organization, be it manufacturing, supply chain, marketing, all across the function. So anything which is not adding value to the consumer is something that the organizations, including, of course, manufacturing organizations, has to find a way to minimize it and gradually eliminate it.
That's a big challenge, because when you think about it, I mean, you have to figure out what the consumer wants and make sure that you're delivering it at the price that they want it and giving them what they want. But you also have to be able to do that at a price that you as a company or as a business can't afford to do it at. So when you go through a business transformation, you've got a lot of things you have to think about. So tell me, you recently proved that you can save a company a lot of money with a business transformation, but how does a manufacturing company truly, once they've done that transformation, differentiate itself from its peers to get that competitive advantage and to let consumers know we are doing this on your behalf?
Sure. I my experience in doing the business transformation assignment that I did taught me that differentiation is something which is the core of sustainable businesses, which means that especially in food and beverage industry, it is extremely important to keep finding ways of innovating in various aspects of business. So businesses which is innovation either in the product development, which means that Can I come up with a product which is tasty, which is nutritious, and which has practical use properties? If the organizations focus on these three things of taste, nutrition, and practical use properties, which means that, let's say, if I'm making something for a coffee, then, you know, can I get a product which has got a right mouthfeel? Or Things which are practically required apart from the goodness of the product in terms of usage of the product by the consumer. So a large amount of focus around hows of doing these product development is one of the key areas where companies can differentiate and create a niche for themselves. Second area I would say is, again, innovation around convenience. Consumers today are more than willing to pay for convenience, which was not the case probably, you know, 8, 10, 12 years down the line, 8, 10, 12 years, I mean, prior to current period. So the needs of consumers, can I identify what is it that the consumer is, you know, is willing to pay for, and can I create convenience for for the consumer in terms of consumption, which means consumption occasion, which means consumption portion, which means type of packaging that goes with the consumer. Can I give consumer a pack which he or she can consume while on the go? Can I give a pack which is so easy to carry? Can I give a pack which takes the contour of the hand where the consumer is carrying? Can I give a pack which is you know, for example, fits into the size of a refrigerator which is there in the home of let's say an average consumer I'm targeting to? So these kind of things, if I as a company put myself into the shoes of consumer and understand when the product moves from the factory to the consumer hand and from that time till the product is consumed, how is the consumer, how can I as a company help increase the convenience in usage and consumption of the product I'm making as seen by the consumer is another area where I think a focused effort on innovation would create a good amount of niche. Third area I would say, and this is more around not consumer, more around customer, given that food products and F&B products has a self-life challenge also. So it is very, very important that can I create innovations which will be around the packaging, which can help preserve the product inside the packaging for a longer period of time without losing the nutritional value or any other, let's say, taste value or practical use value of the product for a longer period of time. So if organizations focus on these three, four innovation areas, and each of these areas are a big subject in itself, but to my mind, focusing on these three, four areas will create a good niche for the organization wherein the organization can thrive for a limited period of time. So the second challenge is, once innovation is done, the life of innovation is also not something which is very, very long, because there is a large mass of competition which is also trying to do the similar thing. So a constant stream of innovation, a constant way of trying to keep figuring out what is the next in terms of innovation which can sustain or give a new innovative differentiative advantage to the company is where I would say the true success lies for food and beverage company. Second area where I think the differentiation is required is, I would say, more on the culture and the ability, because organizations, I generally believe that a substantial success of organization comes from the people the organization has got. So a culture which supports risk taking ability, culture which is where risks are not seen negatively, where calculated risks are not seen negatively. People are given the true practical freedom to try out things and take calculated risks, and they are not fearful of the outcome once they do all the assessment of risk with respect to objective way of calculating the possible downside of it. That's another, I would say, big need for big requirement for people to get focused on innovation and create differentiation. So two things I would say: one is innovation, focus on innovation, and second is a very conducive culture which promotes calculated risk taking.
Mm-hmm. You talked, I mean, there's a lot of areas here that that you've mentioned. And as you said, each area that you focus on is a huge topic on its own. So I'm wondering, because the innovation continues, because the consumer is always wanting change, as you said, you've got to keep innovating and moving the product forward. So the life cycle is very short. I'm wondering what the information feed is and how you gather that information continuously so that you know that you are giving the consumer what they want, but you can see what their changes in their wants and needs are that are coming down the pipe and you're ready for them. How do you do that?
There are two approaches that we normally use. One is we have programs where people from various functions in the organization, which are or unrelated organization, invariably move towards and interact with customers and consumers and trade partners. So So let's say if I am from supply chain, or let's say my colleague is from finance function, he or she will go and interact with a customer, which is a retail, let's say shop owner, or which is a big distributor, or which is a big modern trade retail outlet, and try and understand from that interaction what are the needs of this customer, which is stated by that customer, and also by virtue of observing the transactions that happens when the sale and purchase transaction is completed, what are the unstated needs of that kind of customer. So a conscious effort by the company by keep looking at stated and unstated needs of customers/consumers, by seeing it through fresh pair of eyes, is one step where the organization try and get that information as much as possible. That's one. Second, of course, is there is a structured consumer contacts wherein we interact with consumers of existing products, of potential new products, of different age profile, different socioeconomic strata, and interact with them in terms of their needs. Again, the focus is more on stated and unstated needs. Many of the needs of consumer herself doesn't know that this is something which she needs, but mm-hmm. if that product is being offered, suddenly she likes it and she's willing to pay for it. So a very, very focused effort around figuring out these stated and unstated needs of customers/consumers through a fresh pair of eyes, different set of eyes, different people with different kind of background, trying to figure this out from various functions, again from various, let's say, different industries, where the effort is continuously being put in to understand what is it that the consumer wants. And it's something which is pretty difficult, but of course pretty exciting in terms of the areas it can open the doors it can open for the organization. Second is of course with the advent of social media and with the advent of digitization, a lot of analysis around data information which is exchanged in various platforms, and analytics of information which is available, smart filtering. Focused filtering around text or around voice or around information which is there on the vast information there in the social media and internet is another area where one gets a sense of what is it that this set of consumers or this profile of consumers are liking, not liking, are very excited about, and from that you also do sometimes some analysis of the data to really figure out what will, if I come up with a product like, let's say, this, will the consumer like it or not? So these are the, I would say, couple of areas where we make an effort to get the needs of consumer. But like you rightly mentioned, it's something which is not a pure science. It is to a very large extent continuous effort to keep crystal gazing in terms of what will she like, and focus your efforts around that.
Rajiv Ranjan has been my guest this week on Make It Right. He's a manufacturing executive with extensive experience in supply chain, and he's based in Asia. He'll join us again next week as we continue our conversation discussing the power of the consumer and how manufacturers can better understand and meet their needs and wants. The Make It Right podcast is brought to you by Kevin Snook, leadership advisor and author of the best-selling book, Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. I hope you'll follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn and subscribe and share the podcast through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for listening to Make It Right.